isn't exactly a good podcasting snack, you know.
Oh, you just quick.
You just quick or eat them afterwards.
I'm hungry now.
Get chips.
Fine.
Yeah, there you go. Wait, okay. Got some chips in. You can have more later now. Rash. Exploding Barrel Podcast for August 19th, 2016. Did something happen on August 19th before? Why does this date seem significant?
It does sound auspicious.
Why does August 19th standing out of my head for some reason? I don't know. So welcome to August 19th. This is Mike Minoli joined by my brother, Ajka.
Hello.
How's it going?
Good.
Does Deus Ex come out today, or is this just a review embargo today?
I have no idea. No. Honestly, I feel weird. I have no interest in buying that game anytime soon.
I want to play it, and I have a copy from work, and I definitely want to play it. But yeah, I've just been so busy with what I've been playing, and I've been having a lot of fun, and not like much time to play anything else, anyways.
Mm-hmm.
So, which is very strange for like August, but yeah, that's kind of. But speaking of which, so yeah, we're doing another kind of Warcraft episode. This time, we're kind of gonna go through the whole series and talk about what we thought about it, and then also we'll talk about a little bit more Warcraft, at least World of Warcraft. I mean, because we've still been playing a lot of that. Also been one night in Karazhan, and God, we play a lot of Blizzard games.
Yep.
I think this whole week I've played World of Warcraft, Overwatch, and Hearthstone.
Two.
All right, then. That's good. They still have three other games that I could be playing, but, you know. So, I know we'll, you know, talk about whatever else. I don't know if there's too much else. It's been one Blizzard stuff, so let's get into it. Now, is this how everyone else thinks of Warcraft? Because to me, the Warcraft series is very much like Street Fighter in that the first one happened at some point. Yeah. And I know it happened because the other one's called Warcraft 2. But I don't think I ever played a second of Warcraft 1. And to
Warcraft
me, nobody
2 also came out like a year later.
And yeah, and to me, nobody talked about Warcraft 1 when it came out. Then Warcraft 2 was like a thing, and then everyone knew about it. Mm-hmm. And that's what all my friends played.
Well, I was introduced to Warcraft 2 by my friend Paul. Who, I don't know how he found the game. He had it, got me to buy it, and it was really the first real-time strategy game I can ever remember playing.
Yeah, me too. I think that's part of it, is that we were a bit on the younger side. When did Warcraft 2 come out?
Early 90s, let me show
that. I think more mid-90s. I don't think it's early.
But, like, this is right around the time, like, I had my first computer with a CD-ROM drive.
And I think a lot of people, like, I think that's why, even Warcraft 1, just that one-year difference, there just weren't as many people who had, like, game-playing computers then, mm-hmm. necessarily.
Oh, there were, just we weren't really among them.
No, you know what I mean.
Oh, it didn't come out until 95.
That's what I'm saying, it was mid-90s. But, no, that's what I mean, though. I mean, average people. Like, sure, I think the people who had the game-playing computers were maybe a bit more techie and whatnot. Mm-hmm. It's like the people who had Commodore 64s and stuff. I didn't know what a Commodore 64 was when I was growing up, you know? Stuff like that.
Right, right.
So, yeah. But, yeah, Warcraft 2 is kind of the first real-time strategy game, and It's interesting because there was the lore and stuff was already there in a way. I was never really aware of too much of it. To me, it was like, oh, this is like generic fantasy, whatever, who cares, but it's a real-time strategy game.
It kind of, so like, the lore, it started that way where it was like, orcs bad, humans good, they're invading us.
And then started the like long process of slowly retconning everything to make it more involved.
Well, and
the orcs and were tricked into it.
Well, that started with what was supposed to be Warcraft Adventures. But right. Before we leave that, just talking about Warcraft 2 specifically some more. Again, it was kind of our first RTS experience, but is there anything in particular about the game that stands out to you?
I think it's funny, again, that like the big like marketing push and branding push of that game was the whole sea thing. It was called Tides of War.
Yeah.
And the whole thing was that it had naval units. Like, whoa, man, naval. But again, for a lot of people, it was like not only the first Warcraft game to play, but for a lot of people, it was the first real-time strategy game.
It's hard to say, like, was that a big deal that there were ships? Because I didn't. That's just the way it was to me.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Of course there's ships. Whatever. And, you know, there's dragons and some flying mouth and stuff. But, I mean, it's interesting to me. And maybe I haven't played Warcraft 2 in a while, but to me, every real-time strategy game is still a lot like Warcraft 2.
Oh, sure.
Right?
Which, I guess, apparently, it's like Dune 2.
Sure, yeah. Dune was like kind of like the super first one. And yeah, the Command & Conquer stuff. And, yeah, like, now I'm kind of aware of the legacy of things. Like, I know, like, Warcraft didn't invent this genre.
Yeah, yeah.
But definitely, it was, like, the one that popularized it for me. But this definitely started my and I've always said this, I think I'm pretty good at all games. I can play almost any game competently. Real-time strategy is my kryptonite.
Yeah, but I like them.
I can like playing them a bit, but I am bad at real-time strategy games.
Yeah, yeah.
Especially if you want to play online, and it's like so much of it comes down to like build order and like, what is it, inputs per second or whatever it is.
It's not so much about the strategy. It's really the execution.
Well, it is. It's just the problem is, in order for the strategy to make a difference, you have to have the execution down, which is true for a lot of things, but the execution barrier is just kind of difficult.
Mm-hmm. But what stood out to me about the game was just the kind of personality it had.
Oh, the squishing, I mean, the squelching all the units.
Oh,
and all
sure,
stuff.
Yeah, you know, everyone remembers, we're being attacked.
Well, that's what kind of stuck out for me more than, like, the story, quote-unquote, the lore, is just, like, how the game was kind of funny.
Yeah,
And also kind of started this weird...
Speaking of unintentionally funny, I went back and watched all the cinematics from this game.
Oh, no.
Remember them looking pretty good at the time. Not so much anymore.
Yeah.
Particularly, like, there's that opening one that was actually, it's kind of cool, like, the ships approaching and everything, and the orcs on the right. boats. But there's the one where it's the king of Stormwind, whoever it was at that time, I can't recall.
What? Oh, so Stormwind. Oh, well, that would be...
Would have been...
That would be, Lane.
Yeah, I guess. So it's, like, him in, like, a throne room with two guards by him, and there's, like, banging on a door, and... No one talks about this. It's like one of those famously bad voice acting lines. But he's sitting in a chair going, guards? And then the door busts open and I guess he gets killed.
That's like the non-canon orc ending.
Oh, right, yeah.
Wait, no, maybe it's not. I think the orcs actually do ransack.
Yeah, it was very odd. It was like just going, guards?
Guards? Well, you know, they did not have the production budget back then. I mean, they were always kind of known for CG, especially once like Diablo 2 hit. Or Diablo 2 was like one of the first times I was like, look at the CG.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy. And it's funny how you even look at that. Even like Warcraft 3's now looks pretty kind of dated.
It's not so bad.
It's not as bad. I mean, there's definitely a point where, like, going back to like almost all the World of Warcraft ones still look very good for the most part. But yeah.
So in 99 is when they did the Warcraft 2 Battle.net edition, which kind of, it always had online multiplayer, but you had to go through a lot of hoops to get it to work. But with Battle.net, because. That was introduced in StarCraft by this point, so that just brought it online, and it made it a Windows 95 executable.
Yeah, and it also was like the Beyond the Dark Portal expansion, which to me there's like no much of a difference between the two. Like,
again, we were just kind of there for both,
right? Like I think we had it early on, but I don't know, that Battle Chest though, they were selling that for like 20 years or something.
Oh yeah, very popular.
It was for the Battle.net edition, but yeah, well, Battle.net started with. Diablo 1, I believe.
2.
No.
There was no Battle.net in 1.
Because I saw the Diablo 1 guy's postmortem about Diablo. It was 40-minute long talk, and he talked about Battle.net.
So really?
I'm pretty sure. I think so. I don't think it was quite as involved, but it was Battle.net.
Interesting.
Yeah. So,
I still don't remember that being in there.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think Diablo 2 was kind of the bigger deal with it. Then StarCraft, obviously. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm misremembering something. But, yeah, the point is that Battle.net wasn't really a thing when Warcraft 2.
No, you're right, yeah, it came out in 96 with the release of Diablo.
Hey, imagine that, I'm right.
Yeah.
But, yeah, because StarCraft is before Diablo 2.
Oh, so this is the thing. Warcraft 2 Battle Edition was the release of Battle.net 2.0.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of like the more, I don't know, you wouldn't call it matchmaking, really, because it's still, like, find the games or whatever. I guess there's some matchmaking.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but, you know, yes, for sure. But again, this is kind of where I realized how bad I was at real-time strategy games and stuff like that. So then, this is kind of what we were supposed to get the adventure game, huh?
Yeah, so Warcraft Adventures was supposed to come out in the late 90s, which was like the height of adventure games.
This, well, this is that
Curse
really,
Monkey Island.
This is that really Fandango. Cool time where we were between like 3D graphics being like easy enough that like almost everyone could do it. So all these people for like this 2 or 3 year period, it's like, well, make hand drawn adventure games, and it was awesome.
Oh, it's great.
But it didn't last very long.
No.
But in this period of time, you have like Curse of Monkey Island. You have the King Quest VII was like hand drawn like this, or some other series.
There's that Toonstruck game that came out.
Yeah. So yeah, there was like a few of these, and this was going to be one of them. And the storyline sounded really cool. It was kind of, you know, like, okay, it was supposed to be all about Thrall. And this was when they invented Thrall, right? It was, like, for this game. He didn't exist anything before this.
I don't think so, yeah.
Yeah, so this was going to be, like, his story, kind of like the Orc Redemption thing and his whole, like, breaking free from slavery and kind of restarting the Horde in a way. And it looked like it was going to be a really cool game. The big problem was, like, the people they hired to do the animation were kind of bad. And I felt like they felt they didn't like it, and it wasn't, like, up to their standards, so they just canceled it.
Yeah.
And it's such a shame. Like, one, maybe vet the animation studio better. I don't know. Because, I mean, they must have, like, done their proof of concept or something.
Right. Like, something impressed them about them.
Right. So, yeah. And, I mean, it's true. When you look at it, yeah, it doesn't look all that great. But even still, it's like, you know what? Just make that game. Well, I would have loved that. If that game was out, that would have been so cool.
It's out.
Is it out?
Yeah, you can play it.
Is it like the full game?
Yeah, some guy played it on YouTube. I watched some of it.
That's interesting. That's crazy.
Yeah, I mean,
it's so weird how that game was done, and they're just like, nah, never mind.
The animation, it reminds me of, in a weird way, of like a worse Don Bluth style.
Yeah.
And I don't like Don Bluth style. Yeah, it's just kind of strange. So, yeah, it doesn't look like the Warcraft aesthetic we all know and love today, which is part of the problem.
Which wasn't as established back then. No,
that was established really with Warcraft 3.
Right.
But the cool thing is they did at least take that story. It became a novel that I read, Lord of the Clans, which was awesome. And, I mean, that's all part of Warcraft lore now. So
like, it's like a huge part of Warcraft lore.
Yeah, so it wasn't all for naught. Yeah.
It is interesting, actually, how even though they canceled the game, like, Thrall is still, like, one of, like, the most important characters in Warcraft lore right now.
He's my favorite character in Warcraft lore.
But then not too long after that, you get Warcraft 3. I remember this being, like, a real hype game.
Well, Warcraft 3 had a kind of interesting development process, because the original pitch of the game was that it was going to be a role-playing strategy game.
Like, the hero units were going to be much more important.
And the other units were going to be much smaller in number, but also, as a result, more important. Like, you would have a consistent kind of war band that followed you around, and it was like a large open map, but it still played like an RTS.
So, yeah, kind of a bit more Diablo-like. Kind of what they went with was a bit, I think it was kind of the way to go. If you're going to make a Warcraft game like
that. Yeah, they went more towards the RTS, but kept some of those elements.
Well, because the hero units. And I think that was enough to differentiate with all the other stuff they did.
And it was still smaller armies, especially compared to something like StarCraft, which just came out a few years before.
I would still probably rather play Warcraft 3 than StarCraft 2 right now. Because all that stuff. I think the hero units are really fun. And again, it was kind of gave them an excuse to make all these characters. I mean, so many of these characters we know now were basically just exist because they had to, like, be the, like, in-story version of that.
Like Karen Bloodhoof.
Like Karen and Sylvanas, both versions. Arthas, Uther, Mirrodin. I mean, like, Jaina. So many, and, like, all these characters that are still kind of big players right now. Vol'jin, I think, was just one of them, too. Yeah.
We talked about before the CG cutscenes in that game.
This was kind of the first time too where it was like really sort of like the lore was, because it wasn't just like the one cutscene being the end and then like some text dialogue, right? There's a lot of voice acting. There's the in-game cutscenes that didn't look as good, but you know, they had all the story.
Yeah, and again, the voice acting was right. Top-notch.
Yeah, yeah. The production quality
what are you doing?
She's digging in the couch. She has fun.
We're busy.
She's having fun. Leave her alone. You keep going, pup. You keep doing what you do. But the cool thing, too, was instead of just, like, orcs and humans, you had the two new races, which were very different,
yeah,
right?
Night Elves and Undead.
Right. And these are kind of, like, and it was, like, really expanding the world at this point, because these are both completely new ideas. And they're both very different. Like, it was interesting, because, like, they kind of had elves in the game before, but they were, like, they weren't, like, the wood elf kind of...
No, they were, like, the high elf.
Yeah, and there weren't much of them, so now you kind of had this whole other thing, and they were, like, druids and all this stuff.
What made them so cool is how their buildings were living entities that could get up and walk around, which, again, kind of played off StarCraft's idea with the Terran units that could fly.
Right, I mean, there was a bit kind of, like, taking some things from StarCraft. I mean, the undead were kind of, like, the creep
kind of stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
Speaking of creeps, and that was the other big thing, is how the game had these kind of neutral NPC monsters that you could fight for experience. Sound familiar, anybody?
Yeah, right.
We should mention how Warcraft 3 is the reason we have the MOBA genre.
Yeah, it's kind of like a custom map scene was really big. And like the very earliest MOBA thing actually was a StarCraft mod, and then when they were like trying to like expand on that and work. And Warcraft 3 is when we got the mod Defense of the Ancients, where it was like, oh, yeah. Because, again, it's basically just built off those hero units, since you can have those in the game. And then it was, like, kind of making a game around that, which is basically what exactly League of Legends and Dota 2 and all this stuff is right now. So, yeah.
Again, you talk about online multiplayer, so I guess I should go back. I've probably told this story before, but what makes this game very special to me is it came out the summer before all my friends went to college our freshman years, and everyone got new laptops.
Yeah, the LAN parties.
I had a 12-port Switch that some family friend gave me because he didn't need it anymore, and he's like, you like techy stuff. So everyone would bring their computers over to my house. We'd go up in my bedroom. Everyone would plug into this 12-port Switch. Remember they had that, they called it spawning technology, where you only needed one copy of the game.
Oh, yeah.
And as long as you launched the game with the disc in, you could take the disc out and still play multiplayer. So that, like, so for LAN parties, because Blizzard's cool like that. So yeah, like, we'd have six of us all on different computers playing these huge LAN parties, just, like, sprawled across my bedroom. And we had a friggin' blast playing Warcraft for, like, 2 months. And, you know, among my friends, I'm probably the better Warcraft player. And I'm like, oh, man. I'm so good at this game. Yeah. Let's go online. Not so much. Yeah. Not so much.
Right, right.
Got my ass hit. Remember that Penny Arcade? It was gave me a GIF one. Looking for a good match. Match not found. Looking for burly men to fuck you in the ass. Burly men found. Man. Fucking.
Oh, man. That's like, when I play these games, I get, like, so much, like, oh, I want to build, like, a really nice base. Like, where's my base going to look? I almost, like, start SimCity-ing it.
Yeah.
Which is not the way to go.
That'd be cool if they did just made that game.
Yeah, it'd be kind of interesting.
Also, interesting fact, if I am recalling correctly, Warcraft 3's main campaign is the only RTS campaign I've ever actually finished.
Oh, really?
Never finished StarCraft 2. I didn't even finish Frozen Throne.
Yeah, I know. This was great. This is like a few years after Frozen Throne came out. My one buddy was over, and we were just in your room, because that's like where all the computers were, and you had a bathroom. So like, there's like an edge to your room, then the room, and then the other side is the bathroom, mm-hmm. right? So we're in there. You're not in there yet. And I'm like, hey, a friend, just show me like the end cutscene. Just like use your chi, whatever, so I can see how this shit ends, you know? Like, okay, so we're doing it, and this cutscene's going, and you walk in. 3 years after this game's come out, you haven't beaten it. You're not going to beat it. You never did. You see that it's playing. You shriek in horror. Instead of walking back out, you run across your room into the bathroom, like, slam the door, like, cover your ears, like, ah, ah, la, 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 la. I was like, Jesus Christ. So there. No spoilers.
I'm going to finish this someday.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Spoilers, Ash guy. He gets the, becomes the Lich King.
Oh.
It's interesting, because, like, at that time, it was like, oh, what's going to happen next? And it was like, wait till the second expansion for World of Warcraft. It was funny, because they started hyping World of Warcraft, even, like, when Warcraft 3 was out.
Yeah, remember, like, those weird teaser images that came out and stuff? And it was like, what are they making? And,
yeah.
And again, this is the time when MMOs were... They're kind of popular.
They're like, kind of a known quantity, but they were still...
knew what EverQuest was, and we were playing Astron's Call.
Astron's Call, your Dark Age of Camelot, mm-hmm. stuff like that. But yeah, it was interesting. And then there was... I think it was, like the disc for Frozen Throne came with, like, the first, like, CG teaser for it or whatever. Yeah. It was just kind of weird. Like, oh, yeah, this is going to happen. You have no idea how big it's going to be.
Right.
But it's so funny. Like, I can remember, like, my friends being in, like, the early beta for it and seeing that.
Yeah, I remember, your buddy David was in it. And I remember going over to his house and being like, oh, my God, this looks incredible. By the way, that game looked nothing like it does today from that beta, which was super interesting. But just, it's so funny to think now. I mean, again, for this game that came out 12 years ago. Remember the big hook was your favorite units and buildings from Warcraft 3 now to scale. Like, look how incredible this is.
Yeah.
Wow, look how big that ancient is.
Right, it's like, oh my God. It was kind of a big deal. It was the first, especially with Adventure King Cancel, it was the first Warcraft game that wasn't an RTS.
Yeah.
Right? So, man.
Oh, that's kind of weird.
Right.
I mean, so I didn't realize. So it should make sense in my head. Warcraft 3, July 3rd, 2002.
Oh, there wasn't that long of a time difference. No,
yeah, it's not long before we get to the MMO that changed the face of gaming for a long time.
Right, but it is kind of funny because there were so many loose ends in Warcraft 3. You do wonder if World of Warcraft didn't hit, how they were going to address those.
Like, would they just go back to Warcraft 4 right away or what?
But, I mean, yeah, World of Warcraft kind of changed that whole company pretty drastically.
So, let me ask you, what do you think it was about World of Warcraft that made it such a hit? Because, I mean, Warcraft had a fan base. MMOs had a fan base. But I think this game easily transcended both of those. Why?
Yeah. I guess it was just execution. I don't know if there's, like, some magic answer. I think the fact that it was kind of a known quantity helped in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, it was a world people knew. You didn't have to, like, reestablish something like you do with some of these other things.
Yeah, because, like, when you play, like, Astron's Call, you have no idea, like, what's this world about? Where am I? Who am I? At least Warcraft, you had a starting point.
Yeah. I think there was. I think the character creation process was very good in the amount of choices he had. Maybe not customization, but, you know, first Horde or Alliance, and then all these different races, and they all look pretty different, and all these classes, and they're all pretty different, you know, stuff like that. And I think the progression, especially back then, the progression was very stick on carrot, right? Like, there's always a new spell. You know, at level 10, you, like, unlock your talents, and, you know, level 20, this happens. Level 30, you get your first headpiece. Level 40, you get a mount. I remember so much of that game when we were first playing was, we gotta get to level 4. We gotta get a mount. That'll be so cool, yeah. Right? And I mean, back then, no one had a mount. And, like, I remember I saw the first person mount. I'm like, that person's, like, an expert.
Yeah, right?
It's right? It's just, it's crazy. And then, yeah, it is. You could do, it would be very interesting to spend a day, like, trying to, like, figure out why Warcraft got hit so well. I mean, obviously, it was a very good game.
Yeah. Also, I think, too, it's that, again, that thing Blizzard does so smartly. It's more about the art style than the tech, which allows the game to look good and play well on a variety of systems.
Well, it's interesting because there was the other game coming out around the same time. The other MMO was EverQuest 2, and everybody's like, oh, which one's going to hit? And obviously...
Yeah. And EverQuest 2 was like, we have this advanced realistic graphics engine. Everything's voice acted. And right. Like, no one cares.
And we've seen so many of these games, by the way, since then, do the whole everything's voice acted. I still want to be like, no one cares.
Yeah. No one gives a shit.
Stop voice acting
and
everything.
And that's what's smart about World of Warcraft, even playing it today. If you just want to level up and run dungeons, don't even read the quest text. It tells you what you need to do in a little thing. But, not like the quest text is bad. If you're into the lore of the world, there's good stuff in there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I've been having a lot of fun playing it right now, just leveling up. I made a warlock to try it out to see if I wanted to level boost him to 100. I'm kind of having so much fun leveling with him. I'm just kind of going with it for a while. He's like level 32 right now. I did this one quest that's really fun. I've heard about this quest before, but I finally did it, where you become a quest giver.
Huh.
And you just kind of sit at this one point, the guy's like, all right, just stand there. Here's your exclamation point. People are going to come up to you. It's like the first person comes up is like a total newbie. He's like, hi, need quest, please. Nice lady just woke me up from dead. Right? Then like a griefer comes in. He's like level 100. He's like, ha, give me quest, whatever.
That's awesome.
Right. Then like some other guy comes in. He's like, all right, yeah, I'm not going to read. This is what you want me to do. You're like, all right, I think you need to go over there. He's like, what, is that it? Is there anything else I can do over there? He's like, no, this is all I got, man.
That's awesome.
Right, it's great. It's just kind of making fun of, like, and the archetypes.
I think World of Warcraft took the kind of irreverent humor aspect of Warcraft and kicked it up quite a bit.
Yeah.
It was always there, but it's certainly much greater. That's what's so unique about the Warcraft universe. And I think one of the things the movie didn't quite capture is it manages to straddle the lines of, like, super serious stuff with really super silly stuff.
Yeah. It sometimes... Maybe not super... Like, I think it does the sillier stuff maybe better sometimes. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it can come into conflict. But for the most part, yeah, it does a pretty good job with that.
Have you, outside of boosting, have you max leveled at any point?
I max leveled tons. What do you mean?
I never have.
I max level ever since Lich King. I've been max level.
I
mean, my Death Knight, I know, almost doesn't count. But you had to have a little... I made my Hunter to level 60 or whatever it was. Mm-hmm. They made the 55 Death Knight. They leveled him up for, what was that at the time? 70. Yeah.
My one and only max level character in that game is my Shaman that I boosted for Draenor. And the problem is because I'm an altaholic. I like just making new characters.
I've never been very...
That's why I really like the new talent system in Legion now. Because instead of where I usually have that impulse like, I want to play like an alt. Now it's like, I'll change my spec. And it completely changes the way my character plays.
Yeah, see, I've never been very alt-heavy anyways. Ever since I made the Death Knight, I basically...
It really stuck to that Death Knight.
Yeah, I played a Hunter through Vanilla. I didn't play a lot of Burning Crusade, really. And then Lich King was when I got into it with the Death Knight, and I've just been playing the Death Knight really ever since. So, yeah, but, I mean, the pre-launch stuff for Legion has been so good. There's just so much content before this game is even out.
It really is.
I mean, the spec changes makes it fun to try out all the classes again. The Legion Invasions is just a really cool way to kind of do some stuff.
The Legion Invasions, like I said, I think I mentioned this last week, they're mechanically pretty simple. Yeah. But it's just fun to be in something that large scale.
And they're pretty rewarding.
Oh, yeah, that helps too.
Especially if you're actually leveling a character, you get a ton of experience.
I really like that moment when you hit phase 3 of the invasion where it's like spread out across the zone and kind of hunt them down because like everyone like mounts up, flies up in their flying mount, like kind of takes off in the same direction. It's just a cool experience.
Mm-hmm.
And then they added like a new quest this week that fleshed out more of the story. I imagine they'll do that again next week maybe. Cool.
But getting pretty right where it's like, all right, go to the Broken Isles now.
Well, then that's going to be on the 30th. They're handling this launch event so well.
I'm definitely ready for like the actual game now. I'm like, all right, let's go.
It's so fun. I'm so hyped on this right now.
So, all right. So, outside. All right. So that's it for the Warcraft stuff. Then, how you been playing the Karazhan Hearthstone adventure?
Yeah, yeah. So I finished the first two wings. I haven't done the second set of class challenges yet.
It's super fun. I don't know. It's interesting because like these adventures almost by nature get a little easier each time just because there's so many more cards.
Especially the second one. These are very easy.
Oh gosh, yeah. Some of them are just pretty simple. I mean, that's why even more so than usual, I actually kind of like going through the heroic versions of each one.
Game. Well, I've never really done heroic, but I'm almost tempted to for this one.
That's cool.
I think that's the smart thing to do. Let the normal mode be nothing too crazy, just a chance to kind of screw around. Because
everybody needs to earn the cards, basically, right?
And, you know, just let it be more fun. Let you feel overpowered as a player, and let the challenge be the heroic mode. I think that's totally fine.
Yeah, heroic mode is like you need to make decks and, you know, all that kind of stuff, which is kind of neat. The chess thing was pretty cool.
Chess was awesome. The whole second wing, like, the only reason I didn't, bless you, immediately win on the last one, the one with the Wizard of Oz spoof, I didn't, like, because you can see what the hero power of the thing you're going to fight is, but I didn't know about the whole Dorothy mechanic.
Yeah.
I knew she was there, but I didn't know about the whole left side is taunt, right side, or left side is
charge. Oh, like you didn't hover over Dorothy?
Not until the match started. So, like, I was, like, just thinking I had to keep her alive. I was like, oh, I'll use the priest deck I kind of have in my reserve. And I just got terrible card draw.
Yeah.
And also, I was playing priest. Yeah. So I was like, oh, that's how this works? Let me just get my super aggro warrior deck, which usually wins most of the adventures.
Me too. I was playing Disneyland Adventure through a lot of them, or Disneyland Warrior.
But I like, you know, the Little Red Riding Hood one, I read it, and I go, oh. Well, I'm just going to get every good card I have with either
Battle Cry or a good Death Rattle. That one was actually kind of funny. I'm interested to see the heroic version of X. So it turns all of your cards into 1/1 cards, but also with one mana cost, which is actually very helpful.
Yeah, because like I said, you get things with like really good Battle Cries or good Death Rattle or just a good effect in general.
Yeah, it's like, all right.
Yeah, like, sure. Sweet. Yeah, we'll do this.
Yeah, play a Cairn and whatever. Yeah. Well, thank you.
Well, then I made a Mage deck for that, so I was using all these Portal cards, which was giving me just the regular minions too. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it was fun. I like that a lot.
Yeah, theme-wise too, I just really like the adventure.
Well, I tell you what, they are really big on Karazhan right now.
Right, and they announced the first content update after the launch of Legion
7.1
is going to add a new Karazhan like 5-man dungeon that's like a kind of a super dungeon. Like, it's going to be a lot, but like almost a mini raid.
Yeah,
I kind of like that idea of like a 5-man mini raid.
Yeah, yeah, sounds kind of neat. Yeah. Very smart.
So that I think that would be super cool.
Just between that, this Hearthstone expansion, and you know how prominent a location it was in the movie.
Yeah,
it's like they're like, hey, people seem to like that one. Let's go back.
It's Karazhan, by the way. Yeah. I keep so.
Leviosa.
You see that? Man, they introduced a new map for Overwatch.
Yeah, that Bastion's short was so good. It's so good.
But I'm excited for that map to come out. Hopefully, we don't have to wait too long for that.
Yeah, I think September, they said.
I wonder if anybody's finding any more somber clues in the Bastion video.
No, I didn't think to look for that.
Well, I'm not that you're not going to crack the case. I'm sorry to say.
You don't know about my Reddit aliases.
Yeah, oh yeah.
They're all me. Yeah. You can't disprove it.
Well, I think that just about does it.
Yeah, go play some Blizzard games, everybody, because that's what we're doing.
All right, well, yeah, thanks for listening to the Exploding Barrel Podcast. You can find more of us at evpodcast.com. You can follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Be sure to go to the iTunes Music Store and the Google Play Store.
Yep.
And, you can, that is everything. EBPodcast.com. There you go.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll see you next week right here. Exploding Barrel Podcast.
Bye-bye.